Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read Psalm 146 responsively. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Second lesson is from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man and not the rich, the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court. Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you were really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If our brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for his body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you your faith by my works. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O And from there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. Hi, Maddie. Coming up? Anybody coming up? Okay. You can tell they've been playing soccer today. You see how slow they're moving? Oh, there comes. Oh, see, Scarlett's showing. This is what she was doing on the soccer field. She was moving, right? Yeah. Here they come. Here comes Hopi. All right. You're going to sit here, too? There you go. Good girl. All right. Well, tonight I thought that we would talk about playing favorites. Do you know what it means to have favorites? Like, do you have a favorite brother or sister? Do you have a favorite game you like to play? Do you have a favorite person you like to sit with on the bus when you go to school? Do you have a favorite food? What's your favorite ice cream? What kind of topping do you like? Do you have favorites? What does it mean to have favorites? Or to play favorites, Ryan?
That you like something better.
Yes. Usually it means that you have a preference, or you have your kind of partial or partiality, but you like something, or you have something that's more attractive, right? Yeah, it's your favorite. You know, like if I were to wave this now that it's the NFL season, you'd say, "Why is Pastor Dave doing that?" And you kind of go, "Oh, I bet it's because the Green Bay Packers are his
favorite.
So you know what it means, right? To have favorites. Or like if I showed you crayons, would you rather have a box of brand new 64 crayons? Or would you rather have these here where like some of them are busted? The wrapping paper. What do you think? Do you have a favorite color?
Mm-hmm.
You have a favorite color?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Like if I were to say, what would be your favorite color in here? You might say, well, I want red because I'm coloring a fire truck. Or I want yellow because I'm coloring the sun. You see? So your favorites can change, right? What if I had a bag of candy here and I said, I'm only going to give this candy to the boys? Yeah. Yay. What? Huh? You see? Would that be fair?
Yeah.
No, you see, they're even bothered by that because we want things to be fair, and if somebody has favorites, well, it might not be fair, right? Would you like it if you went to school and your teacher had a teacher's pet and you weren't that pet? Do you know what a teacher's pet is? It's where the teacher favors or likes one of the kids better than the rest, right? But maybe there's a teacher who spends a lot of time with one of the students because math is hard for them and they need more help. Maybe that's why. And maybe it's not about being a teacher's pet or having a favorite. So here's the big question. Does God play favorites? Does God play favorites?
No.
Well, no, he gives everybody grace. He gives everybody the love of Jesus. But not everybody believes in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't be saved. And you know who God's favorites are? The people who believe in Jesus and spend forever in heaven with him. So it's not that God likes other people less. It's just that God's favorites are those who love Jesus, who believe in Jesus. Right? Yeah. So, are you God's favorite?
No.
You're not God's favorite? If you believe in Jesus, you are.
Nope.
Yep, if you believe in Jesus, you are, right? Let's pray together, okay? You ready, Nora? Okay.
Dear Jesus,
thanks for giving me faith.
Thanks for making me
one of your favorites.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up. Did you hear how our gospel lesson ended? And they were astonished beyond measure. Have you ever been astonished beyond measure? And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. They were talking about Jesus. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear. And the mute to speak. He has done everything well. There was a young father. He had a 5-year-old daughter. His name is Joe. And because of the atrophy of his optical nerve, he lost his sight. For 6 years, he wasn't able to see. In fact, he had never laid his eyes on his 5-year-old daughter. But he believed in Jesus, and even with the inability of being able to see with his eyes, he kept trusting in his Lord. And then one night, Joe was walking in the kitchen area, and he got over by the stairwell, and he tripped over the dog dish. Someone had put the dog dish right there at the top of the stairs. He tripped over it, and Joe went tumbling down the stairs, and he banged and smashed his head against the wall at the bottom. And miracle of miracles, at that moment, he got his sight back, and he could see everything perfectly, even for the first time in his life, his little 5-year-old daughter. And when people said, Joe, what happened? Joe, how did it happen? How did it happen, Joe? You know what Joe said? God did it. He believed that the source of this miracle in his life was that God did it. And so the dog dish and the falling down the stairs and the smashing his head against the wall was the grace of God that brought about his ability to see. They were astonished beyond measure, beyond comprehension, beyond belief. They were astonished at what Jesus was saying and doing. This man does everything well. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. It's a good offertory. And today, as we receive our offering, you'll have a chance to sing that refrain. Healer of our every ill. In our gospel lesson for tonight, Mark 7, we've got two back-to-back healing stories, both of which were recognized by the early church and those in the faith at the time of Luther as baptismal stories. There is a Syrophoenician woman who has a daughter who has an unclean spirit. She's demon-possessed, and they saw baptism in the life of the early church and in the Reformation era as an exorcism. So much so that even to this day when we do a baptism, we say, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" "I do, I do, I do." The threefold renunciation followed by the triune confession of faith. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? We believe that baptism is in fact an exorcism where God is setting us free from the power of sin and death and the devil. And then that second story, after the woman pleads with Jesus to release the demon from her daughter because even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's plates at the table. Then there's the story about a man who can't hear. He's deaf. He can't speak. He's mute. And as you well know, there is a correlation between, there's a relationship between what you hear and your ability to speak. If you can't hear, it's going to affect your ability to speak. But if you're able to speak well, it probably means that you hear well. And so Jesus put some saliva on his fingers. I mean, you can picture this, can't you? This is a baptismal story. And you want me to show you? He puts his fingers into this man's ear, into the ears. And then he spits and he touches. Let me see a little bit of that tongue. Huh? And then he says the word in Aramaic, Ephphatha. Ephphatha, which means be opened. There are still some churches, even to this day, in Christendom, who use what's called the Ephphatha prayer. It was found in the early church. It was found at the time of Luther, where they would pray that the one who was being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would have ears that would be open to hear and tongues released to praise the faith of Jesus, to praise the name of Christ, our Savior. As you gave hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute, so take this child or this adult who is baptized and open their heart, their ears, their lips to believe, to be saved, and to sing your praises. So you see, our gospel reading for tonight is two baptismal stories. Recognized throughout the church, even if we don't in our enlightened wisdom of the 21st century, even if we don't see them, the church for 2,000 years has understood these stories to be our story. Because whether you are like me or not, with a physical impairment of hearing, and I know some of you do, some of you have hearing problems, right? You know? I know some of you do. I do. But that's not the biggest problem we have. Our gospel readings for tonight says that we are all in bondage to sin and death. And apart from Christ, we will perish. And our gospel reading for tonight says to us that faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ. We are spiritually deaf and spiritually mute apart from the grace of God. And so you have these two wonderful baptismal healing stories. And so you know that we anoint in baptism And when one is sick or one is at the end of their life, we anoint them with the cross in the name of the triune God. Healer of our every ill. Light for each tomorrow. Give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. Healing stories, miracle stories, baptismal stories, and interestingly enough, if you go back to Mark 6 and ahead to Mark 8, you're going to hear two feeding stories. Jesus is teaching the crowds, and there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and they're hungry, and he says to his disciples, you give them something to eat, and they've got 5 loaves of bread, and they've got 2 fish, and he blesses what is there. And everyone eats and is satisfied, and they take up how many baskets? 12. 12 tribes of Israel. There's enough bread of life. There's enough Jesus for every single Jew. And then you move ahead to chapter 8, and you've got 4,000 people that are miraculously fed with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. And after they all eat and are satisfied, they take up how many baskets? 7. The perfect, complete number. There is enough bread of life. There is enough living bread. There is enough Jesus for all the Gentiles. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one. I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In Romans chapter 10, St. Paul says, the word is near you. The word is near you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No one who believes in Jesus, Paul says, will be put to shame. Faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes through the preaching of Christ. How are we going to believe unless someone preaches? Someone must speak. But do you know that unless you hear, it's going to be hard to speak? If you find yourself saying, well, I know I should share my faith. I know that I should share the faith of Jesus with others, but I just don't know how to speak. Well, maybe then we have a hearing problem. Seriously. Because those who hear well are able to speak well about Jesus. Faith comes from hearing. And what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ, the speaking of Jesus. If we confess with our mouth, if we believe in our hearts, we will be saved. Sometimes we have a hearing problem. I do, physically. I do, spiritually. Deaf and mute, and so I need to daily be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. I need to daily be astonished so that I too can speak and proclaim he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Esther Wogan, at one point, was a pastor's wife in Little Falls, Minnesota. Her husband, Pastor Wogan, died of Alzheimer's. And Esther contracted ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And so I would go to visit Esther at the nursing home, and I saw her when walking was difficult, and I saw her when she was confined to a wheelchair, and I saw her when she was in a bed, And I saw her when she couldn't move her legs anymore. And I saw her when she couldn't move her arms anymore. And I saw her in her room when all she could do is look up at me. And I went in to see her. And I was talking to Esther Wogan, sharing scripture, praying, and she was trying so hard to say something, but her voice was so soft. It was such a soft whisper with my hearing impairment, I couldn't hear what she was saying. So I got really close to her, and I could find, she said, "You're talking too loud." I mean, but she was a soft voice, right? And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't hear well." And if we don't hear well, we don't speak well. Hearing problems, not just in Mark chapter 7, but all of us can be faced with a speech and hearing impediment and impairment. They were astonished beyond belief, and they said, "This man has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. That's the promise in our psalm for tonight. That's the promise from the prophet Isaiah in our first reading for tonight. Our psalm for this week, for tonight, is Psalm 146. It's the conclusion of the Psalter, the book of Psalms. 5 praise psalms in a row. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Lots of praise. But in Psalm 146, when we are summoned to praise the Lord as long as we live, because he has done and does all things well, we are told to place our trust well. There is misplaced trust, and there is well-placed trust. Misplaced trust, Psalm 146 says, it would be in a prince, or in a possession, or in another person, because it expires. It has a shelf life. It can't even save itself, let alone save you. But your help and your hope, the psalmist says, is in the Lord God Almighty, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who executes justice, the one who sets the prisoner free, the one who gives sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute, the one who upholds the fatherless, the one who cares for the widows. The way of the wicked will perish. The way of the righteous will be from everlasting to everlasting. You hear? And so it ends with, "The Lord reigns forever and ever." Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord. You see, well-placed trust or misplaced trust. If we don't hear well, then we won't speak well. We won't be able to speak the name that is above every name. We won't be able to have those beautiful feet that Paul talks about in Romans 10. That brings good news to others. So, if you think that someone else has a hearing problem, we might just want to check it out. A husband went to his doctor, and he said, "I think my wife needs hearing aids." And the doctor said, "You can check it out. Stand about 40 feet and ask her a question. And then about 30 feet and ask her the same question. And about 20 feet and ask her the same question." And he said, "Okay, I'll do it." And so he stood about 40 feet from his wife, and he said, "Honey, what's for dinner tonight?" No response. 30 feet. "Honey, what's for dinner tonight?" No response. About 20 feet. "Honey, what's for dinner tonight?" About 10 feet, right there at the doorway of the kitchen. "Honey, what's for dinner tonight?" No response. He gets right up behind her and says for the fifth time, "Honey, what's for dinner tonight?" And she said, "For the fifth time, James, I told you, we're having chicken." If we don't hear well, we will not be able to speak well. And there is a world that God loves and favors, that he wants to bestow his grace upon. And he's relying upon us, we who have been exercised, we in whom the devil has been cast out, we who were spiritually deaf and mute, that Jesus has taken his own holy saliva and put it on our tongues and in our ears so that we could hear and speak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you about Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.